We've been talking about Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. And we're talking about how what Barry is having a hard time thinking about how righteous Lot could be in the situation that he was in. But so I thought whenever I was making plans for today that I would look into what righteousness really is, but that's not where I ended up. We're supposed to be in the world but not of the world. And we are going to talk about righteousness. But we're going to talk about Lot being in Gomorrah, Sodom and Gomorrah. Peter said his soul was, righteous soul was tormented because of the surroundings around him. And the world that we're in today, we're supposed to be in the world but not of the world. It can be frightening also. And it can torment our souls also if we dwell on it. If we really just sit back and just, oh, look what's going on. But Paul had a person who he wrote to called Timothy. He was a son of a person, of a Greek lady and a Greek father. And then mom and grandma and Timothy all became believers in Christ. But let's go to who is Timothy? Now what does he have to do with what I just got through saying? And that is because Paul has realized, I'm dying. I'm going to be killed. I'm getting ready to go in for my last visit with the people who are in Rome. My time's in coming to an end. Timothy, I want you to be this, do this, do this, but I also want you to come to me. Timothy was his son in the gospel. Paul looked at him as his son in the faith. So he wrote this. It was the second letter to Timothy. It's probably the last letter Paul ever wrote. Well, we're going to go to Acts chapter 16 first. When Paul met Timothy. This is his second missionary journey. His first missionary journey was with Barnabas, and they were partaken as Barnabas was Zeus, Paul was Hermes. They spoke, and everybody thought, oh, they're the gods, come down. And then they found out they weren't gods. They stoned them and left them for dead. Well, during that visit, evidently, Timothy and his mom and became believers. A lot of people in that area became believers because of what Paul had said at that time. This is Paul's second time now coming through that same area. And he says, Paul went on to Derbe. This is Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, and Lystra, where there was a disciple named Timothy, the son of a believing Jewish woman, but his father was a Greek. They didn't say he was a believer, but she was. The brothers and sisters at Lystra and Iconium spoke highly of him. That's Timothy. Paul wanted Timothy to go with him, so he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, since they all knew that his father was a Greek. And he didn't want to have anything that would disrupt his message with the Jews in the area. So he wanted to make sure things were smooth on that situation. Now, he doesn't think circumcision is what you have to have done, because he has other times when he comes out very bluntly and says, no, does not need to be circumcised. But Timothy was. And this is where he takes Timothy now on all of his journeys with him. And he's with Paul. He's with Paul, seeing what Paul does, listening to what Paul says, listening to how Paul interacts with everybody. Now, we're going to go to 2 Timothy, chapter 3. He's telling him, Paul's in Rome, Timothy's in Ephesus. There's going to be hard times, Timothy. Be ready. He says, but know this. This isn't something that might happen. This isn't something that could happen. This is something Paul says, know this. This is going to happen. Hard times will come in the last days. You also got to remember, Paul thought he was in the last days. He thought the imminent coming back of Christ could be any time. He thought they were already in the last days. And if you know anything about what was going on in the Roman Empire and in Rome, you would think, well, there's nothing new under the sun when you look at the United States today. It was just as bad. Hard times will come in the last days, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, proud, demeaning, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, without love for what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. Now, he didn't say all the people are going to be like this, but that's what the world's going to be like. This is going to be going on in the world around you, Timothy. Know this. Hard times are coming. Just like Lot, soul, righteous soul, was tormented by what was going on around him, our souls should be tormented by what's going on around us, because there will be hard times. People will be without God around us, and they are. Not everyone. There are people out there who are still God's children. But there's enough out there that we hear about and we see about that we shouldn't be dwelling on. We need to be dwelling on other things. The next one, I just wanted verse 5. To be holding to the form of godliness but denying its power. Avoid these people. In other words, not everyone's like this. Not everyone is going to be denying the power of religion, holding to a form of belief but denying that there's any power involved for these things. Things just happen. They're at our control, is what they think. And basically Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, avoid these people. Don't have anything to do with these people if you have a choice. We're going to skip a couple of verses and go on now to verse 10. But you, Timothy, you have followed my teaching. Ah, Timothy's been mentored. Timothy has been following someone. Maybe that is something we could look into to help us grow. Or did I forget to go to the next one? Yep, thank you. But you have followed my teachings, my conduct, my purpose, my faith. I'm adding my into all of those because that's my goes with all of these. Patience, love, endurance. Timothy was with Paul, knows how Paul reacted to people, saw his way he talked to people, the way he interacted with people. He saw Paul's faith at work. He saw his love at work. He was mentored by Paul. It helped Timothy grow in the Lord. Maybe we could pick someone out in our lives who has really been a help to us in our lives, who we have said, look, I need to be more like that person. But that's why he's telling Timothy, he has done. You have been doing this. You have done this. along with the persecutions and the sufferings that came to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. And boy, he was left for dead. They were stoned and stuff. All sorts of stuff happened to him, to Paul. What persecution I endured, and yet the Lord rescued me from them all. Not going to be rescuing him from what's happening after he writes this letter. Paul is going to die for the Lord. Dying because he was a servant of the Lord. But the Lord was with him through all of these things. And Timothy, you know that. You saw that. You saw that in my life. In fact, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's an interesting statement. If we are wanting to live godly lives, Paul says, you are going to be persecuted. Have we felt persecuted because of what we believe and what we've said? Evil people and imposters will come, worse, deceiving and being deceived. Not only in the church, but out of the church. People who are deceiving other people, trying to work things out for the betterment of themselves. People who then are also being deceived by the deceiver himself, Satan. That's what he's here for. He's going to make it worse. He's going to make it tough. He's going to make it rough on all of us. He's going to try to deceive us, to make us think differently than what God has told us. But as for you, Timothy, as for us reading this letter of Paul's, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. You know those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. You know the answers for the world because you have been taught it from your youth up. Your mom and your grandma taught you the sacred scriptures, Timothy. You know them. You know what they have to say about Jesus. You've known them from your infancy. He's also just got through telling them what? You saw them in my life. You saw all of that in my life. You know it because your mom gave you the foundation of it in the scriptures that you know, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That's the answer for the hard times. Faith in Christ Jesus. That's the answer. Now, the wisdom that goes along with that is what he was going to be talking about now. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. That doesn't mean it's going to make you money. And that's what we think of. When we think profit, we think, bottom line, money. No. But all scripture, not just the Old Testament. Peter, remember when last time I was up here, I told you how Peter called Paul's writing scripture. Peter called all of the apostles' writings scripture. So all scripture, Paul says, is inspired by God. It comes from God. And it's profitable. This is how we get to know, to have that faith in Jesus. It brings us to that wisdom because it's profitable because it's teaching us. The Bible teaches us about God, how to live, what to do, what we should be doing. It's not a bunch of rules of do's and don'ts. It's a book about a relationship with God. what kind of relationship do we have with God? And in that thing, he also says it's profitable for rebuking. So when we're reading the scriptures and we're reading it and God is teaching us, he's also talking to us. He's telling, you're doing this wrong. But this is something you need to change. You need to change this about yourself. It rebukes us. The scriptures, when we're reading it. But he goes on and says, not only does it rebuke us, it tells us what to do to change, how to change us, to get us back in that right relationship with God. That's what the scriptures are there for. And then he says, training in righteousness. There's that word. Training in righteousness. Training in the right way to live. The right way to do God's will. What does God want you to be doing in this world? It's training us to do that. But how do we do that? It's in the scriptures. That's where we got to go. That means we need to be spending time in those scriptures. It's not something that we just read. Not something we read like a book. I'm just going to sit down. I'm going to read it all the way through like my novel I read. I'm going to sit down. I want God to speak to me as I'm reading. What are you telling me? How are you teaching me? Are you rebuking me about anything? We're open. We're in a communication with God. He's helping us grow when we're reading the scripture. And that's so that the man of God, or Timothy in this situation, but when now this book is written for all of us to read, so that the person of God, all of us of God, may be complete, equipped for every good work. Every good work. Not all of us will be doing the same thing. Not all of us are doing the same works because we're all different. That's why we read the scriptures. We let God talk to us. We let God show us where are our strengths. What can I do with what you've given me? What can I do for you, God, with what you've given me? So I have been equipped because I've been studying God's word. I've been looking into God's word. He's been teaching me. He's been rebuking me. He's been correcting me. He's been training me all this time. So now that what? I can be complete, mature in Christ, not needing the milk anymore. I'm mature. King James Version said perfect in this place. Maybe perfect, equipped for every good work. God has made a way that we, all that we need to do all the good works that he has planned for us to do. It's not, I can't do that. No. He himself is going to equip us for these good works. Find what God wants you to be doing and start doing it. Start looking at his word as an instruction manual on how to be a Christian, and let God speak to you. What am I doing right? What am I doing wrong? What can I change? And then look for a place to start working. To do the good work of the gospel. That is how we get through the hard times. There's no magic thing that at the end of time I'm going to be. No, it's a lifelong development. It's a lifelong commitment to letting God speak to you and listening and changing to be like God, because that's what he wants us to be. He wants us to be like him. How does the world see Christ through us. Christ said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father to the people around him. And then when he was getting ready to leave, he tells the disciples, just as the Father has been in me this whole time, and you ask me, well, show us the Father, and you say, and he said, I've shown you the Father. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. So now he goes, I'm in you just like the Father was in me. So what's he telling us? The world sees Jesus through us. What does he see? What do they see? Because we're the ones who claim to be his followers. We need to be the ones ready to be out there, completely equipped, reading his scriptures, getting to know God, letting God get to know us and change us the way we need to be changed. So that then the world can see Jesus through us. We're here to make Jesus look good to the world. If we can't make Jesus look desirable, they're never going to come to him. What do they see in our lives? Are we ready for the hard times that are already here and that are coming? The only way is to get into the Word. Get in the Word. Talk to God. It's a two-way conversation. When you're reading his Word, you're talking with God. He's talking to you. Well, talk back. Talk with him as you're reading. It will help you grow. It'll help you mature. It'll help you grow so that the world around you can see Jesus in you. If today you would like to have the prayers of the congregation to help you change your life and to do that, to get to come to know God more and to worship him better, we're going to be singing a song if you want to come, or not during the song, but I'll be over here after services and you can come talk to me. If you would, though, let's stand. Let's stand and let's have a prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for this time to come to worship you with fellow believers who love you and who have given themselves to you. Thank you for this worship, this time, and for strengthening me with the idea of reading as a two-way conversation. Help me to grow in that same idea that Paul told Timothy, to look at the scriptures as teaching, rebuking, correcting, so that I can be completely trained in righteousness. Help me be shining picture of you and the world around me, so that the world sees you in a good light. Help us all to feel that way. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen.